Welcome to the high school football season for 2014. I'm Jim Field. I'll be joined by the rest of the gang on Who's Gonna Win here this week, number one of the high school football season. It's brought to you today in part by Nishna Valley Credit Union of Atlantic and Ag Business Associates. Stay tuned. We'll have our program right after this.
Applying for a car loan can sound like a terrifying experience, but not at Nishna Valley Credit Union. Hi, this is Jeff at Nishna Valley Credit Union. We're here to help make the process easy for you. Vehicle loans are still at a low rate of 2.49% APR. Stop in and let us help you with refinancing or first-time borrowing. If you're looking to purchase a vehicle, we offer some of the best new and used car rates on the market. Plus, with our 24-hour banking on your smartphone, we offer free bill pay, e-statements, and much more. Stop down and visit us at Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, for Mag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
Welcome back to Who's Gonna Win here on KJAM. Again, we appreciate our sponsors, Nishna Valley Credit Union and Ag Business Associates. We got the four all here today. Doug Leonard is back with us again this week, and hopefully for the whole year.
I will be here.
Unless he runs out of the room screaming and crying because his picks are so bad. We have Matt Mullinex joining us again. Appreciate your attendance.
Yeah, tail ender last year. I'm back, though.
Hey, ready to fight. Chris Parks back with us again this year. The, 18-time defending champ.
Perennial.
That's how we kick them out after a certain amount of time.
We've had other guys who've won several in a row, and look where they are now.
The Troublesome Creek's not too far from here. Remember that, Chris.
It's running a little high now.
On the outside looking in. I'm Jim Field. Thanks for joining us. Just recapping last year, Chris, I don't remember, did he run away with it necessarily, or did we just all go crazy with goofy picks at the end trying to catch up and it just got worse?
Got a little worse at the end. I was ahead a good chunk. But you had a commanding lead, is what you're saying.
I gotcha. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And there was a little bit of doubt in there, but it wasn't a whole lot.
Yeah, maybe.
No doubt in your mind.
No. 62-18, Chris went in last year's Pick'em show, and Doug and I were tied for a distant second at 55-25, and Matt was the tail ender at 54-26 last year. But you know what? That all gets wiped clean with the new season. 2014 brings a lot of changes this year. We had changes in districts. In some cases, we had changes in the type of football folks are going to play. They might have gone from 8 to 11 man or the opposite direction. In some cases, we have teams moving from different places, not just district to district, but also class to class. So we'll take a look at some of these things as we move through our list this week. We got a trio of 8-man games to start our Pick'em show here this week. We're going to start with a couple of teams from right here in the backyard. Adair Casey and Cam are going to be playing in Anita on the opening week of the football season. A couple of teams that have seen some success in the past. Adair Casey more recently. Chris, you're the defending champ. I'll let you have first crack at it. What do you think?
All right. Well, Adair Casey, a team that lost in the semifinals last year, able to make a run there, and then lost to Don Bosco, ended up being the state champion. And then Cam, their opening round playoff loss was to Exire EHK, who was a runner-up. So two teams that, yeah, have had success. They like to play each other. This is always a good, fun rivalry game. And Adair Casey did lose quite a bit of that speed that they possessed that made them good last year. Cam, I do believe, has some of the skill players returning for them here this season. But Adair Casey's got a pretty good program there, and it just seems like they always find the guys to fit in the right hole and adapt their style a little bit. So I'm going to go with the Bombers in this one.
All right, one for Adair Casey. I'm going to make it two, but Adair Casey is a little of an unknown here this year with the new coaching staff, and not sure exactly how all that stuff is going to play out. They've graduated so many good football players over the last, about a half a dozen years or so. It seems like they've had a good run of high-quality athletes come through there. They lose the state's all-time leading rusher. There are a lot of issues there with Adair Casey, but they still have some pretty solid football players coming back. And one thing we've seen from them over the last few years is when they've lost some really good skill players, they've been able to pull somebody out of the line who would have been a really good skill player for somebody else, but they had to play in the offensive and defensive lines. because they just didn't have enough room in the backfield for them. Well, now these guys get rotated through. I'm expecting some of that's probably going to happen again this year. Cam has played Adair Casey tough in openers, though, over the last few years. Last year, it was a 55-40 Adair Casey win. We did that ball game last year. A lot of fun to watch. It was much more competitive than we really honestly anticipated coming in. Cam played a good hard ball game. But I do like Adair Casey here in this one, even though they'll be on the road tonight. Matt, what do you think?
Well, I'm just going to get this thing started off on the right foot, and I'm going to go with Cam at home. And I believe just because of the fact they have more returners coming back for them, a good nucleus of those returners, and questionable, you know, who is going to replace Wheatley there at running back. And, you know, coaching staff, yeah, it's new, but he's been there for a few years in an assistant role. But still, taking over that leadership is a change, you know, making the calls. But and I like the home field advantage, so I'm going to go with Cam Cougars.
All right, one for Cam. We're already mixing it up here. Doug, what do you like?
We're going to go 2-2 on this one. I'm going with Cam as well. I like the home team.
All right, very good. Well, that's great. I'd love to see that, actually. It's kind of fun because, you know, some of these matchups that we've looked at as traditional local rivalries haven't been quite so much here lately because one team tends to be more dominant. You know, Cam coming off that 4-6 season, Adair Casey all the way through last year. So, very good. Mix them up, 2-2. Let's go to game two. This is an interesting matchup here with Stanton on the road at Guthrie Center. Guthrie Center going to 8-man football this year. Stanton, 3-6 last year. Guthrie Center playing 11-man was 4-6. Of course, they didn't play last year because they play a different type of football. It's kind of an interesting matchup. I know Stanton, you know, it's hard to figure with sometimes with 8-man. I know Stanton has like 18 players or something like that on the team, which doesn't sound like a lot, but again, they play 8-man football. So Guthrie Center has had both these teams have had some good runs through the years, and I'm really not sure where to go necessarily with these two. But Guthrie Center, a little bit bigger school. I think maybe a few more resources to draw from, and they're at home. So I'm going to go with the Tigers in this one at home to start. Matt, it's not really fair that I throw an 11-man team from last year up against an 8-man team from last year in one of our first games here in the year, is it?
Yeah, I'm kind of with you, though. It is kind of a toss-up, and it can be a tough transition in a certain aspect of it, just learning the game, because it's those of us that have seen the game, it is a little bit different. You know, they a lot more one-on-one situations through there, and some of these teams can, if you haven't played it, you know, they'll come out in varied formations and how they swing the ball around. So, you know, that could be surprising for Guthrie Center. But at the end, I think both teams match up pretty well as far as athletes. I'm just going to give that edge to Guthrie Center, just the fact that they've, like you said, have a few more players maybe to draw from, some depth-wise in there, and you know, just overall talent might be there a little bit as they drop down from 11 to 8.
You bet. Boy, a lot of long-time football pride in both of these communities, though. Doug, what do you like?
Well, I have to agree with you guys. I like Guthrie Center, you know, just probably from a numbers and a talent standpoint. You know, they may not have the nuances or maybe the subtleties of the 8-man game that, you know, being 11-man squad last year. But I just think some of that talent level has got to take over. And, you know, I'm sure they feel like being a traditional 11-man program that they, you know, they're going to have an advantage.
Okay, well, that's three in a row. Chris, what do you like?
Yeah, this, like you said, very interesting matchup just because of the differences. And Stanton, a team that, you know, traditionally has been very good at 8-man football, it just seems like the last few years something's kind of dropped off down there for them. And it's been pretty rough in the past couple of seasons. I think Guthrie Center is a team that probably looks at this situation as something that they're maybe excited about because they've kind of been one of those teams that's been able to compete, you know, win in that 3-4 game range most years. They're right on the outside. And then some seasons they've had rough times as well and not won very many. So maybe this is a chance for them to get back into the competitive nature of things too. So I'll take Guthrie Center at home.
Okay, clean sweep across the board for us, Guthrie Center over Stanton here in game two. Time for us to take a quick break. Stick with us. We'll have more Who's Gonna Win right after this.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Ag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
Applying for a car loan can sound like a terrifying experience, but not at Nishtha Valley Credit Union. Hi, this is Jeff at Nishtha Valley Credit Union. We're here to help make the process easy for you. Vehicle loans are still at a low rate of 2.49% APR. Stop in and let us help you with refinancing or first-time borrowing. If you're looking to purchase a vehicle, we offer some of the best new and used car rates on the market. Plus, with our 24-hour banking on your smartphone, we offer free bill pay, e-statements, and much more. Stop down and visit us at Nishtha Valley Credit Union in Atlantic.
Back on Who's Gonna Win, talking about 8-man football yet. We've got Exira EHK on the road at Nishnabotna. One team had a real good season last year. The other team, not so much. Nishnabotna 1-8, Exira EHK 12-1, made a run through the semifinals in the state football playoffs last year. Doug, you get a first look at this one. Matt does. Does that record kind of play out again this year?
Well, you know, we kind of talked about that with the Derek Casey. They lost quite a few players in there as well, and I think the same can be said for Exira EHK. You know, they lost quite a few seniors that were they depended on as leaders, and especially on defense and anchoring their line up front there. But one of the that they do return is their quarterback in Drew Peppers, and you're looking at an all-state quarterback. That leadership can go a long ways. He's very familiar with the offense. A lot of times you put those athletes out there on the field and everybody else is just going to step up their game as well. So I think that's going to go a long ways early in the season as some of these younger guys develop and get them going. So I'm going to go with the Spartans, even though it's on the road.
All right. That's one for Exira EHK. Doug, now, what do you like?
Well, it's going to be exciting to see how this squad comes together with Coach Peterson's under his tutelage there and saw, you know, that the Peppers boy was still, I think they picked him as a preseason All-State, actually, All-Squad, All-State, as a D-back, I think. But, you know, I've seen him play before, and they're salty, and I'm sure that the kids that have been kind of biding their time that maybe were on the bench are going to want to continue that tradition. I mean, EHK Exira has always had a great football tradition. I'm sure that'll continue, at least in this game, and probably all season.
Okay, that's two. Chris, what do you like?
Yeah, it's a change this year, but you, like Matt said, you have a leader back like that in Drew Peppers, who's somebody that I'm sure is being looked at around the state as a potential, you know, player of the year in that class. Then it changes perspective a lot, and it does help when you have that winning tradition. Kids looking up, they want to be a part of that. They want to continue to work hard so that someday they can step in to those shoes and maybe make an impact. And yeah, it's been just a great merger as far as the athletics has been concerned for Exira EHK, and especially in football here these past few years. And I think that continues. Nishnabotna, a team that, you know, traditionally has struggled. It's just never caught on for them. So I'll go with the Spartans.
And I'm going to go that way, too. Exira EHK is a team who last year coming into the season we were wondering, well, gee, do they have enough? Because remember, the year before they had this huge offensive line, and they lost most of those guys. So they were working with a much smaller offensive line last year. Didn't seem to hurt them all that much. They still made a long run into the playoffs. This year they lose a few more of those skill players, but, you know, at the end of the day, in 8-man football around this area, it seems like we had some really good runners. But they've been out of the running back position. Guys like Clayton Plowman from Adair Casey. His name escapes me now. He's at Iowa now. But the kid that played for Fremont
Nate Meyer,
Mills.
Yeah.
Nate Meyer. Mm-hmm. You know, some really good runners. This is a really good runner out of the quarterback position. We don't have to worry about, you know, an extra handoff here or there or whatever else. He's going to take the snap, and he can pretty much take off and go when he wants to, as long as he's got somebody even, not even blocking, just getting somebody's way, you know, in front of him. And he's okay. They've got more talent than that, obviously, on the team. But, boy, that's a great anchor to have. So, yeah, Spartans in this one, and I think they'll look forward to a little tougher challenge here down the road. Yeah. All right, that's three games in. Now we're going to move into 11-man football. We've got Bedford playing at Griswold tonight. Doug, now you get first crack at it.
Hey, all right. You know, I don't know much about Bedford squad, but I know Griswold is returning a lot of experience, particularly on the line. And for a squad that is a traditional running powerhouse like they are, that bodes well for their running backs. And I think Griswold was 4-5 last year, and so, you know, just on the verge of having a really, really nice season. And I think that experience that they've got returning is going to lead them to bigger and better things this year. So I'm going to take the Tigers.
Okay, one for Griswold. Chris, what do you like?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Grizzled here in this one, too. Bedford, a team that struggled quite a bit last year. They do have a history of being a tough team in the past, and we'll see how they bounce back this year. Grizzled, it was kind of interesting looking at their roster. I think it might be a couple years down the road where things get a little bit more hairy for them. Just seems like they don't have near as many of the younger classmen as they do as the upperclassmen. So this might be one of those years they're really looking at to have some success. So I'll go with Grizzled here.
All right, very good. Well, two programs that have had a lot of success over the years. They have a great tradition at both of those places in having solid football programs. Grizzled seems to be the hard luck team about every year from this immediate area in the fact that they always seem to get stuck in the toughest of districts. I mean, it seems like every year they're staring at some of the best teams around Southwest Iowa at that level. And, you know, so I think they look at these early games as not just opportunities to get out and then learn a little bit with some new personnel, but also a chance to get some W's on the board, get some momentum before you get into the meat of that schedule. So, yeah, I like the Tigers at home. The Griswold Tigers will take them. Matt, what do you like?
I'll just keep it excuse me, I'll just keep it status quo here with this game, and I'll go with the Griswold Tigers as well. I think the part of them will be their defense. I think they got more returners on defense there, and that's where they'll establish early on in the season.
Okay. All choked up about it, huh?
Yes, I am.
All right. Very good.
Gets me going.
Everybody likes Griswold over Bedford here in this next game. Let's move on here. We're going to move into the second half of our list. We have eight games on the list. We're through four. Game five, pretty good little school matchup here in the area. Audubon on the road at AHST. Chris Parks, who's going to win?
Yeah, this is a fun one. These two teams had a little bit of a battle go-around last year. They met up in the quarterfinals, and it was AHST that got that quarterfinal round victory to be able to move on to the semis. And it's escaping me, so I guess I'm going to profess my ignorance. I'm not sure if Trevor Smith is back yet again or not for Audubon. They did lose both times there, 34-14, 38-14. So two tough ones there in those games for Audubon. I know that those were games they were kind of looking at, saying this is who we need to compete with to be on the next level. I just couldn't quite get there. But they've had some nice talent there. AHST's kind of been building back a little bit once again as well. They had a nice season last year, and I think that success and being at home is going to give them that little bit of an edge here. I think this could be a very competitive game, and it probably could go either way, but I'll just give the home team the edge here.
Okay, and I've got AHST. Doug is making noises across the room, but it's actually AHSTW this year.
Oh.
I just ran out of space.
Yeah, there's only so much in that column.
Honestly, I'm not sure that it's fair. I mean, all these towns get to gang up on poor little Audubon? I mean, goodness, do they get to suit up Albert the Bull? It would only be fair. Chris likes AHST, and that would be the easy pick, I guess. AHST had a 12-1 campaign last year, and as mentioned, they did beat Audubon three times. Well, Audubon lost three games last year, two of them to AHST, once in the regular season and once in almost an identical game in the playoffs. And so, you know, Audubon ran through what we thought was going to be a pretty tough district last year. Won some big games on the road last year. Yeah, I'm going to go with Audubon here in this opener just to see. They've got some nice pieces coming back. And if everybody's healthy to start the season, this would be a big send-off for them to get this season started. So I'm going to try Audubon on the road here tonight, see how they do against the Vikings. Matt, what do you like?
Well, this is a tough game to call because I think Audubon does have a fair amount of athletes coming back, and HST, a little mixture in there, you know. It's just an awfully tough one. I think I'm just going to go off of some of the preseason prognostics and rankings out there, and I'm going to go with the HSTW.
AHSTW. Okay, I got it all written down. Doug, what do you think?
Well, just because there are less letters, I'm going to go with Audubon. No, I think Audubon's got a nice nucleus of skill players coming back, and I'm just going to take the road team, see what happens. Wheelers.
Very good. I was hoping to get a limb pick there, but sorry, not quite. That. Well, you're the kiss of death usually. So
yeah, you lost this one.
I tried my best. All right, we got split there. Two with Audubon, two with AHST. Let's move on. Game number six on our list this week has become a little bit of an early season rivalry for these two schools. Shenandoah on the road at Riverside here tonight. Shenandoah picked up a 24-7 win over Riverside last year when these two teams met. Riverside actually finished with the better season. They were 5-5. Shenandoah went 3-6 last year. I'm not really sure. For whatever reason, I'm just going to take Riverside at home. Both these teams have kind of a hodgepodge of players they're trying to fit into the mix and stuff. So I'm going to go with Riverside, I think, just because they're the home team and get started and get a little revenge for last year's loss. Matt?
Well, I'm just going to keep it interesting. I'm going to go with Shenandoah on the road there. I think they, I know the record may not indicate, but they lost a few close ones in there, I think. And so I'm going to go with Shenandoah.
You know, I think a lot of us probably expected Shenandoah to be a little stronger in the win-loss record last year. After a few early season wins, it kind of seemed like, well, maybe they got a little something going here. But, yeah, so a few close losses here and there. They weren't able to really get over the hump in some of those close ball games. Doug, what do they do here tonight?
Well, I'm going to go with the home team as well. I like Riverside, you know, playing at home, and that's all I know about it.
All right, Doug picks Riverside along with me, so congratulations on your win, Matt. Chris, what do you like?
Yeah, this is a tough one because that was one of those games early in the year last year that kind of made you scratch your head a little bit, especially because Riverside started to have some success. They won a few games that maybe you didn't expect them to after that because you thought, well, they already lost to Shenandoah, you know. And then they were a team that was fun to watch at the end of the season, too. They came on strong. They gave Audubon a little bit of a run in that first-round game that we got to cover last year, and that was fun to watch. And I think they've got some pieces coming back, and this will be a tough, close game, but I think I'm going to go with the home team here, too. I think Riverside wants to get some revenge for that one last year.
Here, I thought I'd have a limb pick with Riverside. Matt's got one with Shenandoah. You feel good about that?
I don't know. It's early.
Yeah, and isn't that funny about high school football? You can go through every little bit of scouting information you've got, and you really don't know until you see these teams actually on the field competing against someone else. So it is always very difficult. This is separation week for us.
Yeah, it looks
it's
like
not
it.
Later in the year. This is usually separation week.
Starting
on our program.
Out really bad.
Yeah, it gets a little tough. All right, we're six games in. We got two left to take a look at, a couple of 3A games. We'll do that right after this break.
Applying for a car loan can sound like a terrifying experience, but not at Nishna Valley Credit Union. Hi, this is Jeff at Nishna Valley Credit Union. We're here to help make the process easy for you. Vehicle loans are still at a low rate of 2.49% APR. Stop in and let us help you with refinancing or first-time borrowing. If you're looking to purchase a vehicle, we offer some of the best new and used car rates on the market. Plus, with our 24-hour banking on your smartphone, we offer free bill pay, e-statements, and much more. Stop down and visit us at Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Mag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
Back now on Who's Going to Win. We've got two games left to take a gander at here this week. Next one on our list, Harlan on the road at Denison. Harlan, very highly thought of again this year after a 10-2 campaign. They started that campaign last year with a 28-6 win over Denison. They have to go on the road to do that here this time around. And Matt, you get first crack at this one. What do you like?
Well, I'm going to go with Harlan. Maybe not quite the nucleus that they had last year, but they still, of course, obviously have a good group of kids. They developed their linemen very well, and they've got a couple of young kids that played actually as freshmen and sophomores that, of course, that's a big year of experience for them. So I'm going to go with Harlan on the road.
Okay. Well, Denison traditionally has seemed to have played Harlan pretty well early season on their own field. Doug, what happens tonight?
Well, I'd love to see the upset there, but I think Harlan's just, talent-wise and coaching-wise, going to be the better choice in this matchup, so I'm going to take the Cyclones.
All right. Chris?
Yeah, Harlan, made it to the quarters last year, losing to Bishop Heelan, and they always have goals there in Harlan of doing more than that. So I'm sure that there's a lot of kids that are motivated there to have another good run. And this will be a tough game. Like you said, Denison's kind of had their number a little bit, at least giving them a scare, if not, picking them off early in the season. So it'll be tough, but I like Harlan's tradition. And, early in the year, that's something maybe you rely on a little bit more than later. So I'll go with the Cyclones.
All right. As for my pick here, I'm just going to go with the old adage, Mama didn't raise no fool. I like Harlan. I don't think they're going to let Denison stand in their way here early season. You know, every year it seems like we think about games like this as being games where you could run into some problems as a Harlan team because, as Chris alluded to, their goals are so much bigger than some of these individual games. I mean, they don't just look toward winning conference or district titles. They look at getting deep into the state playoffs, winning state championships and things. So sometimes you think, oh, well, they'll look past these guys. They tend not to. I mean, it happens once in a while, but they tend not to do that. So we're going to go across the board, Harlan all the way here this time around. One last game to take a look at. That's our broadcast game tonight. Chris and I will be in Clarinda to visit with you here in just a little bit when our pregame show gets started as Atlantic plays on the road at Clarinda. And remember, now folks are used to a 7:30 kickoff for Atlantic, but Clarinda's a 2A school. They play 7 o'clock kickoffs. It's at Clarinda, so it's their start time, not ours. So it's a 7 o'clock kickoff with the ball game tonight. If you're making your plans to get there, you better get on the road soon. So that's how it goes here tonight. Now, as far as who's going to win, Doug, what do you see?
Well, I'm excited to see this game tonight. You know, Atlantic is a squad that is going to be pretty thin numbers-wise, and you know, I think that core nucleus of their starters is going to be going both ways a lot. You know, I know that there was quite a bit of talk about the conditioning that they had this year, and that they're going to need that if they're playing both ways a lot. You know, it's another the dawn of a new era too with a new coach. You know, this will be what the fifth coach I think we've had in the last maybe 40 years. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see his philosophies and his ideas, and it's going to be a challenge. You know, when the numbers are lower, you know, you've got to make the most of it with what you have on the field. And there are some good skill players there, and you know, some talented linemen. So, you know, Atlantic got their only victory last year against Clarinda, and I think they're going to make it another victory tonight.
All right, so that's one for the Trojans on the road. Chris, how do you see this one going?
Yeah, you can look at that game from last year, and I guess take it either way for either team. You know, Clarinda's going to look at it like, hey, that's one we feel like we should have gotten early in the season, and they did go on to at least getting into the first round of the playoffs there in 2A last year. And Atlantic, of course, is looking back and saying, hey, this is a team we were able to beat, and, you know, we want to get better. Let's do it again here this year. And there's, of course, just a ton of unknowns. Anytime you have a coaching staff turnover, and you're learning new things, you're trying to fit people into new places, and of course, kids might be moving into new positions just because that's what this new coaching staff feels like they fit into. There's all kinds of variables that go on with that. I had four different coaches throughout my high school career, and it just was never fun to get that, you know, comfort level. But hopefully this, you know, is something, the start of something for Atlantic to get it moved around. The numbers is an issue, but you know, you deal with it this year, and you hope that you can make people want to get involved down the road. I'll take Atlantic, you know, give them the benefit of the doubt, see what they can do here with some changes at the beginning of the year.
We always heard you weren't very coachable, though, either.
That's true, too.
Yeah. You so. Probably ran him off, Chris.
That could have been part of the problem, yeah.
Who knows? You know, it's always an exciting time, but, you know, it's almost like you want to change the name of the program from who's going to win to who really knows. You know, when you have coach, not just a coaching change, but it sounds like a sweeping change in the type of offense that's going to be run, the type of personnel that are available, and where they're going to plug in. You know, Chris hit on all those hot-button things here for an early-season game. But, again, I think Atlantic looks at this as an opportunity to pick up a victory. It was their only win last year. They're on an 8-game losing streak. Nobody likes that. Time to end that right away and move on to something different. So I'm going to go with Atlantic. I'm not sure what to expect necessarily, if this will be another 7-3 type ball game or if there'll be a score fest. I really don't know what to expect out of it, but I would like to think at the end of the day that Atlantic will play tough and strong and be able to get enough out of this early season matchup to get four good quarters in and pick up the win. Matt, what do you see?
Well, I'm just going to keep it the same there across the board. I'm going to go with Atlantic as well. I think one of the things coming into tonight with all the changes is my understanding that the kids are still excited, you know, the ones that are out there and understand the work that they've put together and realize that, you know, they're the ones that it chose to be out there and they're going to make the most of it. And they've kind of come together as a team, and that can go a long way sometimes. So I'm going to go with the Trojans here in this first game.
All right. Trojans straight across the board here in the last game. Gentlemen, thank you. Appreciate it. Good program here this week. We'll have plenty more coming up for you here as we'll do it again next week. Don't forget, just a couple of minutes, we'll have the pregame show, Atlantic at Clarinda. Chris Parks and I will have the call for you tonight. You can listen to it on AM 1220, FM 101.1, on the web at KJAN.com, and on your smartphones with the free KJAN app. And we'll be providing live streaming video tonight as well, so you can watch that ball game on the TV page at KJAN.com. For Matt Mullenix, Doug Leonard, Chris Parks, I'm Jim Field. Thanks for joining us here for week one of Who's Gonna Win?
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, for Mag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
Applying for a car loan can sound like a terrifying experience, but not at Nishna Valley Credit Union. Hi, this is Jeff at Nishna Valley Credit Union. We're here to help make the process easy for you. Vehicle loans are still at a low rate of 2.49% APR. Stop in and let us help you with refinancing or first-time borrowing. If you're looking to purchase a vehicle, we offer some of the best new and used car rates on the market. Plus, with our 24-hour banking on your smartphone, we offer free bill pay, e-statements, and much more. Stop down and visit us at Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic.